It's Tuesday, 18th of May, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast. We discuss board gaming from the past week. I'm host Ace, and joining me is Nikki.
Hello.
Lights on the ground because, well, the country's starting to open up, pubs are opening, and Rhodes has a drinking problem.
I don't think he has. Wow.
You're thinking about it now, aren't you?
Who are we to judge the behavior of Rhodes? I mean, to be fair, I did insult him last time, calling him Northern, so maybe he's just sad and not joining us.
Oh, that's very true. But anyway, what have you been playing, Nikki?
I've played a fair few games over the past week. I've actually played games, would you believe? I'm going to talk about one or two, not too long on them. I'm still going through Genshin and a little bit of Destiny 2. But my main focus has been on Metal Gear Survive, which I'm still playing. Just hit the 50-hour mark. I'm still not too sure how I feel about that. To point out, before I jumped back into it, like, 2 weeks ago, I had something like 28 hours. So I've doubled my playtime near enough in just shy of 2 weeks, which is a little bit, I don't know how I feel about that. But I'm enjoying it. It's been good. I've been playing with Puce, who's sometimes on the podcast. We're having an absolute blast with it. We're both at the end game, so we're now seeing all that end game content, and it's weird how much better the game is when you get to the end. And it's kind of a shame that a lot of the content that's there wasn't put earlier on, because it's actually really enjoyable. Still run out of oxygen all the time. Like, the survival elements are the worst part. Like, you're just constantly hungry, but the gameplay is refining quite well.
So the Metal Gear parts are good, the survive bit is bad.
Yeah. Pretty much, actually, yeah. That's kind of how it works. But the other game I picked up, because it was on sale, and I've been kind of eyeing it up for a while, but I thought it'd be nice to jump in and finally bite the bullet. I don't normally bite with early access games. I like to wait until they're, like, version 1 comes out, unless they're quite a substantial title. But I finally gave in and bought Teardown. And Teardown is like it's a voxel-based, software-driven, ray-traced title where, as the title suggests, you tear things down. You basically run like a demolition company, so you take on odd jobs and do things like, hey, knock down this building. But then it quickly becomes apparent that you're also kind of like a shady thief kind of person for hire, and it's just ridiculous because you're given an objective permission, you're given a set of tools, which you can upgrade as you play through. And you can just solve these like however you want. Like there was one that was you needed to get a safe and dump it in the water next to it. So it was like a dockyard. And so you know you could try and throw it out the window and then throw it in, or you could just drive a digger through the house, and because it's all voxel based, everything gets destroyed, and then you know, or you could just set the building on fire. You know, like there's so many ways you can go about it. And same with like sort of how you try and do some of the heist missions, where it's like once you take the first item, maybe you need to get free in this particular mission, it'll set off an alarm and you have 60 seconds to get out. And you know, you're there like trying to figure out the best, like planning your route, getting all the prep, so you're making holes in the wall, you're putting planks down, you're like, right, okay, I'll jump over here, run through here, grab that, I can grab it from down here. And it's just like this weird kind of like plan, execute, repeat. And you're just optimizing. And it's like a speedrunner's dream. But when you finally get like the you figure it out and you get every objective in that like night in that 60 seconds, oh, it's so good. And it's just, I don't normally like promote jumping into early access games, but honestly, if you want a game that's just a little bit different to everything and a lot of fun, Teardown is definitely worth checking out. It's still in development. It gets quite regular updates, and they just added like a whole new map recently, actually.
It has 18,000 updates, and it's overwhelming. 18,000 reviews, and it's overwhelmingly positive on Steam. 95% positive reviews.
That's, highly, highly recommend it.
That's shocking.
And that's saying a lot, because usually the games I recommend are weird games like Girls and Panzer, which I also recommend. But like, no, Teardown is like this kind of weird. It's the surprise title, kind of like Valorant, where like it's kind of come out of nowhere. But Teardown had quite an active kind of pre-release, Kind of an active launch. It's a little bit quiet, not as much in the comparison to Valorant, but like it's definitely picking up pace, and I'd recommend jumping in. There's a lot of content to enjoy already.
Okay, is that all you wanted to talk about?
I mean, unless you want me to simp over the newest Genshin girl for like an hour, which she came out today, and I managed to get her in my first temple right before we started recording.
That's pretty good, but you can't really simp for her since you've not had a chance to play as her very much, if at all.
Hey, no one said you had to play as the character to love them. That's all I got.
Okay, I'll talk about what I've been doing on VR, I think, because I've got the Oculus Quest 2, the standalone headset. I have a couple of games on there, one's for review. One I won on Twitter, a game code for it. The one I'm reviewing is The Climb 2. It's by the developers of Crysis. And you are climbing a wall. Not a wall. You're climbing mountains. And I think one of the later maps is a wall, by which I mean up a building. And I thought, that's interesting. I don't know how the climbing is going to work, like, because even if I had a Rift, it's not likely to track my feet movements. And it's actually pretty good. I've only done the first map on easy. It took me about 6.5 minutes, and I was absolutely shattered afterwards. Because each hand, you have to hold on to the trigger to hold on to the part of the rocks that you can hold on to, and you've got a little stamina meter on each hand. If you're only holding on via one hand, your stamina will drain. If you're holding on with both hands, obviously you're more stable and your hands will recover stamina. You can also put chalk on your hands to increase the stamina, the amount of stamina each hand has. And when I started the map, it said how many, it came up with the 10 fastest climbers. And because of the way that the time was set out, I didn't know if it was 48 minutes or 48 seconds that was the fastest. So I was kind of dreading that this first map on easy was going to take me 48 minutes. But yeah, you climb up to these flags and then have a bit of rest. Your time pauses while you're on these platforms, and then you carry on. And it's surprisingly knackering having to reach for these handholds and reaching above yourself all the time and gripping hold of the triggers. Sorry,
are you having to reach like fully above yourself and like, or is it like kind of is it like a half movement in real life as a full movement in game, or is it one to one?
I think it's one to one. When I play, I have a stationary meter and a half, 2 meters, whatever it is, circle around me. So I'm having to reach often to the edge or just outside of the circle to grab these handholds and then pull myself across. And you can also jump, by which I mean you have the option of pressing a button to jump or like dragging and letting go with your hands. And I was preferring to do the dragging because, well, when I'm on the VR, I like to get a bit of a workout. Because I've got synth riders on there and all these other things. And yeah, it's I'm obviously going to play quite a bit more of it before I review it, but looking good so far. I'm looking forward to getting to these buildings that I saw in the trailer. And the second game, the one that I won on Twitter, Phantom Covert Ops, a game where you are a sniper in a kayak and you have to infiltrate this flooded Russian facility to eventually murder Solid Snake.
I mean, you're not wrong.
David Hayter is the voices the main antagonist. And I'm on mission 4. I just finished mission 3 the last time I played it. And I wasn't expecting to get Metroid primed, I'll admit. You start with your sniper rifle, your silenced pistol, and a silenced assault rifle. And you pick up these sound grenades at one point, which you throw them, they create a noise, distracts the guards. And then towards the end of mission 3, you get hit by a Chinook and lose all your gear because you got hit by a helicopter.
You're quite angry about that, aren't you?
Yes, it startled me. I don't play the horror games or the escape rooms with horror elements. I play the games that aren't going to scare me, let alone drop a helicopter on me. The blades would have chopped me in half if it was real. It was scary.
How did you find having to pull a piece of shrapnel out of your hand?
That was pretty well done. I did think that was great. So as soon as the guy comes to, someone yelling in your ear to wake up, I lifted my hands and saw the shrapnel and I was like, ah, I'm going to have to pull that out. So I grabbed it and started pulling out. I didn't know if there was a if it was going to tell me to do that, but I thought I can't row with that in my hand, so I'd best do that. Yeah, I'm having fun with that. That's pretty good. I've got an A rank on all 3 missions so far. Not a high A rank, but because I'm having to kill people and I keep getting spotted.
Not a true stealth operative.
No, you know who else isn't a true stealth operative? Rambo. So back in the 80s, there were all these action heroes. There was John Rambo, there's John McClane. I don't know what it was with John's. Both of them are coming to a video game that I didn't think they'd be coming to because, you know, Rambo's already in Fortnite. Nope, they're coming to Black Ops Cold War and Warzone. And I had a quick look at the trailer. I didn't actually manage to... I didn't watch it all the way through, but I didn't see John McClane. The PlayStation blog post does have a picture of Rambo, but yeah, I don't know what John McClane looks like.
Yeah, I watched the trailer and looked over the blog post myself, and like, yeah, Rambo's in it. Like, you see, I guess, an outfit of John, but like, you don't see his face, but there's a voice line for him in the trailer, so I don't know what's going on there. But also, I think the thing that's the coolest is they're just adding the building from Die Hard to the Warzone map.
Nakatomi Plaza.
Thank you. So that's going to be cool. Looks like you can climb through the air vents as well. So, but it's really random kind of event. Like, it's because they've been teasing that Rambo was coming, but it seems it's just a full on like 80s action celebration. The trailer itself is really like cheesy and 80s. Right, reminds me a lot of when Dark Souls did a trailer in a similar vein. But yeah, I mean, hey, it's more content for a game that I'm sure millions of people are playing. We're not.
It's the Die Hard bundle is going to be available in the Cold War and Warzone stores from tomorrow until the 18th of June, which is why I'm concerned that we don't know what John McClane looks like.
Yeah.
Especially if it's 80s action heroes. And as you say, there's an outfit of his. I mean, his most iconic one is the jeans and the vest. So if they've got an outfit from one of the later movies. So yeah, Nakatomi Plaza, and optional missions that can be completed in-game for in-game rewards, including breaking in the vault, which was the entire plot of that first movie. Sorry, I was just scrolling down the post, which does detail more of what's going into this season. I saw Cranked 2, and I thought, oh no, they've got Crank in this.
I think the worst thing for me about this is that there's going to be a portion of people playing Warzone who have no idea who Rambo and John McClane are, and frankly, that upsets me to my core.
The thing that upsets me is that a police officer and a person with severe PTSD are being added into this war game.
I mean, we're talking about Call of Duty here. So I think our expectations are both horribly wrong.
Put Thanos in it, why not? Fortnite. That didn't really give me a segue into our next news piece, but Pathway has been announced as coming to the Switch. It came out on PC in April 2019 and is coming to Switch next week. Yeah, next week. From Robotality and Chucklefish.
Yeah, this is like a really nice, like, it has a gorgeous art style, as is kind of common with games published by Chucklefish, but like it's kind of like a little strategy game where I want to say it has like Indiana Jones kind of vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, no, it looks really good. It's one that I've always wanted to play, but now it's coming to Switch. Like any game these days, it comes to Switch, it's more likely going to get played by me. So definitely be checking that out. But yeah, you move between different points in the world map, you engage in story events, combat, as it has turn-based, and yeah, you just try and get to the end, I suppose. I don't want to say it feels like a bit of a mix between like FTL and a few other titles with that kind of Indiana Jones vibe. But if you like gorgeous aesthetics, then definitely check it out.
If you like breaking into tombs in 1936 and fighting Nazis, then play it. If you're a Nazi, then why the fuck are you listening to us?
Get out of here.
I was reminded of that whole Wolfenstein tweeting, oh, kick the Nazis out of America, and people, oh, why are you making it political? It's like, Wolfenstein's about fighting Nazis.
Yeah, the one game that can't pull the we're not political card. Like, no, you're political. Ubisoft can try and dance around, oh, our games are political. Yeah, okay. Wolfenstein, like, yeah, no, they can't pull that. If they suddenly announce like Wolfenstein 3 is you're fighting, I don't know, the Girl Scouts because they're selling too many cookies, then I don't even know where that came from.
Well, something that else that's coming out is a sequel to Ghost Runner. And not only that, but there's going to be an upgraded edition for PlayStation 5 and the Xbox X/S. Oh, and PC. Unfortunately, there's not much news about that, just that 505 Games are working with one more level to do both of those things.
Yeah, I still haven't actually played Ghost Runner. It's one of those titles that's like, from the moment it was revealed, it's been on my watch list, but I just haven't got around to playing it. The curse of so many games coming out that you want to play. But I'm fascinated by how like successful it's been. And yeah, like the IP's been bought, there's a sequel coming out. Like, here was me thinking it was a little indie title where you're jumping about, slashing some people in a kind of cyberpunk dystopian setting with wall running. Guess there's more to it than that.
I'm honestly surprised they haven't announced a Ghost Runner VR yet, to be quite honest.
I mean, that would just make people sick.
There's plenty of games that already do some of these things, like wall running and parkour type stuff, so blazing through these news stories because there's not really much content to talk about them. I mean, there was for the 80s action heroes, but neither of us know enough about the game to know whether the standoff 6v6 new multiplayer mode is a good thing or not. But you know what is good? Saints Row the Third Remastered. It's getting upgraded versions for the Xbox Series X/S and the PlayStation 5, which are going to be equivalent to, this says ultra settings on PC. The press release said high settings on PC. So either way, it's going to be one of those. So let's see what the official website says. At high settings. So yes, that tweet is lying. But yes, it's the Xbox X and PlayStation 5 versions are going to be running at 60 frames per second with 4K resolution. I didn't think the PlayStation 5 discless version did 4K. Am I misremembering? In any case, the Xbox Series S will have two options, a 60 FPS with 1080p graphics, or 30 FPS with 4K upscaled graphics. Something that I did like that they mentioned, even though I don't have a PlayStation 5, is that now your DualSense will glow purple while you're playing.
I mean, that's really the best feature.
Yes, that's almost enough to make me get a PlayStation 5. I'm easy to please, just give me Saints Row, and I'm pleased. Those updates are coming on the 22nd of May, alongside the Steam and GOG releases of the game, because it's previously been an Epic exclusive. And again, this is another one that there's not much really to say about that. I scored Saints Row the Third Remastered 8 out of 10 when it came out, and I'm looking forward to going back into it with better graphics and better load times, because I've played it multiple times already, so one more time won't hurt.
Yeah, I think Saints Row the Third is still probably my favorite Saints Row. So, I don't have either console, so I'm not in a hurry to get this version or jump back into it. But it's good to see that this one's getting a lot of love. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the next one is. Because they are working on the new one, aren't they?
They are. They haven't told us the title yet, but I'm hoping that it's a fifth of Saints Row. Because every Saints Row title is different. It's Saints Row 2 was the number 2, Saints Row the Third for the Saints Row 3. Saints Row 4 was Saints Row IV rather than 4, as convention would have dictated. Either a fifth of Saints Row or Saints Row, but the S is shaped like the number 5.
Like how everyone used to draw S's back in the day in school.
Along with our tribal tattoos.
Oh my gosh.
Well, speaking of consoles, PlayStation have announced that Play at Home is going to get more free content for all to enjoy. However, this one, you're probably going to need a PlayStation Plus subscription, because it's not games, it's in-game content, such as 1,100 destruction points in Destruction All-Stars, or the Warframe Starter Bundle for, Warframe. And that's all starting, yesterday.
Woo! Yeah, it's all running until June 6th, and stuff in Rocket League, Brawlhalla, Destruction All-Stars, MLB The Show 21, as well as NBA 2K21, World of Tanks, World of Warships, Warframe, Rogue Company. And then starting on the 20th of May is the Warzone Double XP. Oh, that looks like that's just a weekend event, actually. But yeah, it's nice that there's some more. But interestingly, just to kind of tie into this, Days of Play is returning on May 26th. So a lot of PS, like big title PS4 and PS5 games will be getting major discounts at selected retailers. There's going to be free online multiplayer weekends, PS Gear Store stuff for countries that have that, and a few other bits and pieces. So there's quite a lot on the sort of PlayStation calendar, so to speak, for the rest of this month going into June, in the form of, I guess, free content, discounted content, and swag. Do people still call it swag? Like when you buy merchandise, is it still swag?
You swag.
Okay. That answers that question.
Sorry.
I'll go. But for anyone who cares, the games, what they claim are the top offerings that will be available participating retailers during this year's Days of Play include Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Predator Hunting Grounds, Sackboy A Big Adventure, Last of Us Part 2, and a selection of PlayStation hit games for PlayStation 4, and on PlayStation 5, Demon's Souls, Miles Morales, and Miles Morales Ultimate Edition, Sackboy, and the Neo Collection. And these will be available through, I believe, PSN, select retailers, as well as a dedicated site. But there's more information on the PlayStation blog.
Hopefully the sale will include that game we were talking about last week that we all wound up buying.
What did we talk about last week?
The name of it's escaping me. Oh my goodness. The anime one that's tied into Yakuza.
Oh, Fist of the North Star. I forgot.
Ah, you missed the set. Well, maybe it'll go on sale again.
I forgot. I missed that.
You even asked for the link. Ring the shame bell.
Don't shame me like this to the listeners.
Okay, that's another possible episode title. Don't shame me like this.
I like that one.
Okay, and well, speaking of shame, E3. E3 2021 plans have been unveiled. They've explained a bit of what's going to happen at E3 when it happens in June, which is mere weeks away. It's going to be all virtual. There's going to be virtual booths as well as interactive overlays. The main broadcast is going to air on Twitch, YouTube, and other places. What other places are there? Like Caffeine?
Stream on. Oh, and the Mixer's dead.
Exactly.
Now.
Microsoft spent all of their money on Ninja. They didn't have enough to keep the site working.
Yeah, and then he came back to Twitch. Oh, dear. Sorry.
On the 12th of June, the public version of the online portal will give you access to exhibitor booths, lounges, forums, leaderboards, and profile creation. So all attendees can create their own unique profiles with swear words in their usernames.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it looks all right. It's better than missing E3 completely, I suppose, like they did. Well, like they had to do last year.
Yeah, it's just kind of an awkward one because even though a number of people are going to be there, most of them are doing their own show anyway. So it's probably going to be a case of like, here is a thing. We'll talk more about it in our show. Like they're probably like Ubisoft, I reckon, will just play trailers and then at their own show do like the in-depth and talk about stuff.
Well, they have already said that they're doing a Ubisoft Forward.
Exactly.
I just assumed that that would be their E3 show rather than have two things.
Speaking of E3, Team Cherry, the team behind Hollow Knight and the upcoming Silksong, they've announced that they have no announcements scheduled for E3. So don't get excited for nothing. Although I'm sure everyone will get excited for, what is it, whatever that From Software game is meant to be. Elden Ring, that's it. Everyone will say, like, Ring's going to be there, even though nothing's ever said if it will or not, but people always get like super hyped that Elden Ring's going to be there, and then it won't be, and then people will be angry that it's not there. And we do this every single games conference.
Yeah, but which Smash Brothers character is going to be announced at E3? Because Nintendo's not going to be there.
I couldn't give a rat's ass. I just don't, like, I get being excited, and I'm sure I've said this before, like, I get it, be excited for things, but don't hype yourself up for nothing, because you're just letting yourself down. Like, you just,
if you do hype yourself up, it's not everyone else's fault, so don't have a go at everyone else.
You have no one to blame but yourself.
That's another episode title.
I'm not sure.
Well, I think we've plumbed the depths of these fairly well, so let's talk about Ghost Recon Breakpoint, and then I suppose I'll let you free on Final Fantasy 14.
It's the only reason I'm here.
Okay, let's not talk about that then.
Well,
Ubisoft earlier today announced that Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint is getting a Title 4 update. Title update 4.0, whatever. On the 25th of May, which they've called the AI Teammate Experience Update. Which, when I saw that, I thought, wait, didn't they already implement teammates? But no, this is enhancing the teammate experience, putting in a new progression loop so you can improve your AI teammates and earn unique rewards if you still haven't finished the game, like I haven't.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in this. Because again, Breakpoint is so weird in that it launched and you couldn't have AI teammates, and then they did an update to add them, but they were kind of crap. But now we've got this, and yeah, you can progress them, give them special skills, you can customize their sort of like their look a little bit more, plenty more customization options. You can pick how many there are. I'm quite, when this drops, I might try running with just one AI teammate, because it's nice to just have someone who can like revive you. I found in Wildlands having to manage all three of them was just a bit too much of a pain. But interesting as well, like there's a number of additions for the player as well. So there's more cosmetic items for the player, and apparently new weapons as such as well. So I'd be curious to see what they are. But yeah, it's the first of two major title updates coming as part of the year two roadmap. So yeah, it's more Breakpoint, I guess. I still haven't finished it. They no idea what's going on with that second island. I think I spoke before about that. No idea what's going on with the supposed second raid. But it's still getting updates, so that's good.
The AI teammates were added in July last year in update 2.1.0.
A year after release, I believe.
Yeah, sounds about right. So this time next year, they'll update the AI teammates again.
Yeah. Also, at some point, we've got a Tomb Raider treasure hunt Easter egg event crossover happening. No idea, but end of fall, fall is the release window for title update 4.1, which is currently operation classified, but we'll see what happens, I guess, and what they're bringing with it. They did this, like the two feather in Wildlands, they did like the last update they did for Wildlands teased Breakpoint. So I wonder if they're going to do that with Breakpoint, or if maybe they're just not sure what they're doing next, so they're just keeping the team busy.
Well, it's that or sack them all.
Keep them busy.
Please keep them busy. don't want any developers to lose their jobs. Management, that's fine. Developers, no.
People that have pensions, yes.
Since we're well and truly off into the current generation of consoles, I had the thought a couple of weeks ago and I thought I'd bring up as a main topic, when does a console become a retro console? Because we got Mega Drive, that's over 30 years old. Retro console, clearly. Nintendo 64, that's 25 years old next month. That's a retro console. GameCube, 20 in September. That's a retro. PlayStation 3 is 15 in November. Is that a retro console?
Well, it's interesting you should actually bring this up, because apparently the official Twitter account for a Let's Play show, Game Center CX, has, by their definition, and I'm reading this from a website, has decided that 20 years makes it retro. So the PS2, the GameCube, and the Game Boy Advance are now all officially retro, as by this group. But 20 sounds like a good 20 sounds like a good kind of time to say retro. I mean, I want to say 30, but given, you know, I think the thing is, it's different though. It's difficult because, like, you look at the problem with technology and with consoles is, like, the jump between each new console is progressively going to be less and less. Like, yes, people will be like, oh no, but the PS5 is so much more powerful than PS4. Yeah, but when you actually look at the difference and, like, what the features are, it's just prettier. We've got ray tracing and 4K. Okay. PS3 gave us, like, full-on HD gaming and Blu-rays and all this, like, extra power and, you know, online stores. PS2 was, like, revolutionary. But those subsequent jumps are less and less. So, like, the PS6 will probably be even less of a jump in terms of the actual hardware. So I want to say that maybe the time for things to become retro is going to expand. So the PS5, I'd argue you could say, yeah, that's retro in 30 years because the hardware is still relevant. But, like, the PS2, the GameCube, the Game Boy Advance, we're not using, unfortunately, we're not using that tech anymore. So it's retro in my eyes. So maybe 20 is a good shout.
Okay, that's a fair point. Xbox is 20 as well. The Vita will never die.
Never die. Vita means life after all.
The Wii still has 5 years left until it's a retro console. So 2.5 generations, it looks like. It works out to be about.
Yeah. I imagine how old's the 3DS? Or DS even?
The 3DS is 10. The DS Lite is 15. I don't have to hand the DSs.
Gosh.
But DS Lite will probably be like 17.
2004 was the original release of the Nintendo DS.
Yeah, I was right.
I mean, I'd argue the DS... No, I guess the DS can still hang around for a few more years, but, like...
But we're not using the technology anymore. Ooh.
That's not us. It's just, yeah, well, the thing is as well, it's like when... Like, the... When companies stop repairing. Because the other thing as well, like, I'm going to use Apple as an example here. Like, Apple make their own hardware obsolete. Like, there comes a point where, like, you buy an iPad, for example, in a few years' time, that iPad will be obsolete because it won't be able to upgrade to the newest OS that releases every year. Is that now retro, or is it just obsolete? Because I'd argue that in that instance, it's obsolete, but the, I think the DS... Yeah, DS is retro, I'd say maybe. The 3DS, not so much, because they're still kind of going. PSP is definitely retro. PSP was retro when it came out.
Quickly, the 3DS online store is still available, so...
Yeah. Like, shop. We could argue the PS3, considering how much Sony is trying to kill off the online store, is probably retro at this point. But it's yeah, oh god, it's such a...
So it's somewhere between 15 and 20. 20, definitely.
Yeah, it's somewhere between... Yeah, I'd say retro is somewhere between 15 to 20 years. Obsolete would be prior if it's just rendered useless. Ouya, that's not retro. Winx, you're not here, so you can't defend it. Ouya, Metro Uyur is just obsolete. It's just obsolete tech. It's terrible. You know, in the same argument of like the Apple products, they're just obsolete. They're not retro. They don't work. Well, they do work, but they don't work with the current software. Whereas, like, I've seen some people say PS4 is retro. PS4 isn't retro because they're still fucking releasing games for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Second they release the final PS4 game, fine, you can call it retro.
Will they release the final PS4 game before they release the final Xbox One game?
Ooh.
Yes.
Well, okay.
No, I can see that there's so many games that come out on PC, Switch, and PS4, and they don't bother with an Xbox One version. Though that might be due to how much development kits cost. They have to decide between either Sony or Microsoft.
And there's player base, and you know, there's lots of factors into whether you release on a platform.
Just the one thing.
It's just that one button you have to click in your respective game engine. Because that's clearly how easy it is. Just click the make run button.
You just type your idea in and then click the make run.
Come back like a year later and it's finished building it. And then it gives you the option to remove all the bugs, but it's another 6 months.
That's why there's so many delays. Sometimes the power goes out while it's working, and it's like, ah, oh, no, I've lost an entire day's worth of building, so I'm going to reboot the computer and hit the go button again. It's a short episode this week. Should talk about anime for the remainder. Do a secret launch of our anime podcast, the Game Grin Moving Pictures anime podcast.
The anime cast. This week in anime.
This week in anime, I haven't watched any anime. Damn it.
Watched too much anime already. It's only Tuesday.
And that about wraps up our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki. And thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com, where you can find all of our writings. And keep an eye on social media. Just search for GameGrin to find out whenever a new podcast goes live, as well as the daily news, reviews, and articles. And finally, if you subscribe on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, thank you. And if you can leave a review on your platform of choice, an even bigger thank you. And finally, game on.